Who's that down the back? Paul, is it? My eyesight is so bad. Hi, guys. How's it going? Yeah? Who's here on holidays visiting? Well, Michelle, you're not visiting. You guys have been here before. I know what it's like to come into a church and be a visitor and be anonymous. But I've just come back from New Zealand, and I was working in a church there for a month. And it was great to be part of a new church, but it can be kind of disconcerting. So just as Johnny was saying in the welcome, again, we just want to make you guys feel really at home here. And if you want any information, come to the welcome point. So Johnny said, my name is Rob Jones. Many of you will know me from working in the church, and some of you won't know me. Give a bit of background about myself, because my talk is very much sort of involved around, you know, where I've come from and what I've been processing over the last couple of months. I used to work as a project manager for a company called Quailcha, which is a forestry company, and then I received the call of God to go into the ministry, and I've done 2.5 years, and I have 6 months to go, and then I'll be ordained next May with the collar on and robes and all sorts of things. Not. I just saw the photograph of my mates from last year who got ordained, and they said to me, okay, ordination, Rob, we're not going to wear robes, we're not going to wear a collar, we're going to make a stand. Front page of the Church Review. There they are, collars, robes. So hold me accountable that I won't do that, but I bet you I will. So what I want to do tonight is, when John's away at the moment, he's the leader of the church, and he gave the guys kind of free rein to speak about what they felt God was saying. And I want to speak tonight about fulfilling your ministry. Many times we talk about receiving a call, which is very, very important, or how do we do that? And my talk will be a little bit about that, but also, how do we fulfill that? And what does it mean to fulfill? And what does the word fulfill mean? And when are we meant to do that? And how do we do that? And who does that? And I think it's been very apt to see Dave Heff and the guys tonight talking from Spirit FM, because I remember sitting in a house in Drimna with Dave Heff many years ago when he was just processing about a Christian radio station. And we were going, I wonder would that work? I wonder could we get some people together to do that? And God's done it. And why has he done it? Because he put the call on people's hearts, and people responded, and people did it. And every single one of you here tonight has that call. Not to Spirit FM, but has a call and has a ministry. And for you guys who don't yet know Christ, by knowing Christ, you will receive your ministry and know your call. So I'm going to speak tonight about that, fulfilling your ministry. But as a way of introduction, I want to get our minds thinking a bit. So Tracy, could you start this? Okay, hold on one sec. Don't go. There's some photographs going to come up here, and I want you to shout out, who do you think they are? They are famous people now, but these are pictures of when they were children. So roll up there, Tracy. Okay, who is it? Who? Any more Demi Moores? Okay, go. Oh, give her a round of applause. Welcome along, Demi Moore's sister. Okay, next. Okay, click again, Tracy. Okay. Who is it? Anyone else want to make a guess? Who else is Robbie Williams? All in favor? Okay. Aye. Okay, go. Not Gemma, you've seen. Okay, go. Robbie Williams, well done. Okay, we have 50 of these, so we better not clap after each one, only joking. Okay, keep going. Any ideas? Who's at Bill Gates? You're spot on. Bill Gates. The computer gave it away. Next. Say it couldn't be so. Hey, isn't it really funny, George Clooney? He looks really old when he's young. He's kind of like, he's only 12 in that picture, but he looks really old. It's George Clooney. George Clooney was born a man. Okay, next. Okay. Okay, shout it out, shout it out. Who? Shout it out. Come on, names. Yeah, who else? Well done. Imagine that on the front page of Hello Now. It'd be like the front page of the Beano or something. Okay, go on, next. A bit more serious. Okay, go, Tracy. You should know this one, I think. Andrew McNeil! Any guesses? Churchill, one guess. Anyone else? Emily? No? Al? Dave? Laura? Come on. I'm very surprised you don't know this, Dave Heffernan. Okay, go. Sorry, I didn't hear you, Mary. Carol Wojtyła, as his name was. Okay, next, last one. If you get this, it's star prize. You don't know how long I searched for these photographs. Any guesses? I don't think you're going to get it. Anyone else before I put the name up? What did you say, Gillian? Give her a round of applause. Go. Mother Teresa. A secret fan, is it? So, click again, Tracy. So, who are you called to be? These pictures, as I went through them, when these guys were young, no one knew who they were. No one knew anything about them. They were just normal Joe Soaps. But now, when they're kind of famous, we know them. But at the time, no one knew who they were. And I guess he used this as an illustration, not so we all want to become famous pop stars or famous guys in the media, but just to actually say, at the moment, sometimes we can feel anonymous. And sometimes we can feel, hey, what's this all about? We can feel, where are we going? But we're at a certain point in the journey. And if we look ahead and realize ahead that God has something for all of us, God has a plan, God has a call for all of us. So I want to pray now myself very quickly and speak on a passage from 2 Timothy about fulfilling our ministry. God, I'm so excited to be allowed up here to speak. I'm so excited just to be able to share a bit of your word. I pray, Lord, that there will be anointing here. There will be revelation. There will be passion and there will be truth. Lord, anoint my words and bless everyone that's here listening to respond and hear you speak. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, guys, open your Bibles on page 1197. We're going to really fly through this. I'm trying to refine my talks to a lower amount of time. So you can take that off there, Tracy. 1197. 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. The Bible, Steve? Cool. Okay, 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. Let me just read it out myself here. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now the last word there, discharge, in another translation is fulfill. And that's the line that I want to really speak about discharging your ministry, fulfilling your ministry. Now a little bit about Timothy. Timothy is a very unique letter in the book of the Bible. It's one of the only 4 letters in the New Testament that was written to a person. The others being 1 Timothy, Philemon, and Titus. And it was where we see Paul being the most intimate, the most personal, the most responsive. And it's kind of like you writing a letter to someone you really respect and really want to encourage, and now it's been published for billions of people to see. It's a place we see Paul really opening up to someone that is really going to take on the mantle in certain parts of Asia and Asia Minor when he dies. It's also, these letters, and especially Timothy, are written to a church that's young, that's only growing, that's only very at the very beginning of being what it's meant to be. Very much like this church, I believe. When Paul wrote this, the church that Timothy was in was only beginning to put in accountability structures, was beginning to create leadership. There was a tension between a single head leadership and group leadership. There was tension between Gentiles and Jews. There was tension between free and slaves. And they were working these things out. But the main thing is, we see in 2 Timothy, is Paul talks over and over again, if you read it, about being given a deposit. That Timothy has been given a deposit. Now, you know what a deposit is. When you deposit something in the bank, you expect to get that back at least. Well, maybe the banks today, you won't get anything back. But you expect to get the minimum amount back and hopefully get some interest. So Paul was saying to Timothy, this call and this ministry has been deposited to you, has been given to you. Both Timothy 2,000 odd years ago and to us today. And the actual importance of that is highly significant. But the key thing is, what Paul is saying here to Timothy is reminding him, if you read 1 Timothy especially, he's reminding Timothy of his original call. He talks of his grandmother, of his mother, and he just inspires him again to remember what you've been called to. Remember who you are. And I've recently been away in New Zealand, as Johnny was saying. As part of my training, I had to spend a month in Auckland in a church in St. Paul's. And I spent a month traveling around with my wife and son and had a wonderful time. But to be honest, I was going away with a question on my mind. And I talked to some of you guys here about that, about where, God, do you want me to be? Remind me of the call that you have in my life. It's been a hard year, actually, for me. Second year in college and various other bits and pieces going on. It's been kind of tough, as it has been for a lot of you guys here. So I went away with that question, you know, what is it you have for me? Where am I going? What is the call? And I was reminded of a story that I'd forgotten. And I'm going to tell that now. When I was at a conference in Paris Course, maybe you might remember, Al, years and years ago, you guys used to run these conferences in the barns out there. Do you remember that? And I don't know, 8 years ago. And I remember, I'd just become a Christian since 99. And I remember saying, right, God, what do you want me to do? And I just heard the story about the fleece and Gideon, you know, putting that fleece out in nighttime and asking God to confirm something. And some guy prayed with me that night and he said, God will confirm to you by name that he is calling you into leadership. And I remember saying, there's no way that could happen. The next day, I was organizing a presentation at a conference with Mary O'Rourke and some people out in Westmeath as part of the Millennium Project, you might remember. And I was sitting down with one of the counselors there, and I was going through all the different people I needed to invite, blah, 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 blah. And I came then to the Church of Ireland minister, and I said, oh yeah, by the way, what's the name of the Church of Ireland minister? And he says, oh, he's a great guy. He's been in the ministry a long time. He's wonderful. He's so called to do what he's due. His name is Reverend Rob Jones. And I just sort of went, hello, what did you say? He says, yeah, Rob Jones. And I actually thought I was mishearing him. So I went home and I said, okay, that's a little bit strange. So I prayed again, Gideon number two, and I said, God, if you want me to do this and give up my job and go into this, please confirm that. And I'm the sort of guy who kind of needs that clarification. And God, in his pure grace, the next week, if you guys remember running a thing called Fresh, which was an outreach to the pub, I was handing out flyers on the street. And I met this guy, and I was just talking away to him. And he was kind of doing outreach, and he was working with this sort of firm on the street of Grafton Street. And I met him, I said, what are you doing? Oh, I'd love to do what you're doing. I said to him, what's your name? He says, oh, my name's Rob Jones. And I was like, okay. So I'd forgotten those two stories. God called me by name. And I'd just forgotten them. And I went back to my journal and I made sure that, you know, I could tell these stories to you again today. But to remind you, when was the point in time that God called you? Or maybe he hasn't called you. Maybe you're unsure, and I'm coming to that in a second. So where am I and where are you in relation to your calling? Now, the second thing about a calling is encouragement is so important in a calling and in a ministry. And I believe in this church we need to really build upon that and grow that. It says in Galatians 6, 9 about encouraging each other in what God has for us. And that means, you know, Dave Heff and Marcelo going along to other people who know what they're doing and say, this is great, keep going. Yeah, Hendrik, the step-up thing is wonderful. Going along to Emma in Grandma's and saying, that's wonderful. Going along to the guys doing the bingo, that's great. But also coming along to people who don't have a clue and saying, here, how can I help you out with this? Can I pray with you? Can we go out for coffee? Can I just talk some things through with you? Because the early church was in community. It very essence was community. It didn't understand individuality like today's culture. When you joined the church, you joined a community. And all those scriptures about loving your neighbor, loving your brother, were actually inherent and part of the very bloodstream of the early church. And we've lost that today, because as soon as we go from here, we go to Clondalkin for myself, we go to Howth, we go down to Dunboyne, we go everywhere. And that's okay, because we live in that type of society, but still, we need to encourage each other and build each other up in this calling. And there's some scriptures I want to pass out to you guys. I'm not going to read them because you guys can follow up on them. But 1 Thessalonians, the whole book, especially chapters 3 and 5, they are really, really about encouraging an early church and encouraging each other's brothers. I would say read them and then pray about who it is that you have to encourage. I guess when I was away in New Zealand, the second thing I started really asking God about was, I'm the sort of guy who maybe puts the calling and my work above more important things. And God had to change that shift around, and he had to work in me. And he just said to me through a book by Bill Hybels, he said, God is infinitely more interested in who you are rather than what you do. Let me say that again. God is infinitely more interested in who you are rather than what you do. So then I started thinking about, well, like, what about the call? What am I meant to do? How does that fit in? So I did some research into that. And I've realized more and more that our character and our call are intrinsically linked. If there's something wrong with our character, it blocks that call which God has in our lives. And God put on my heart about Samson. Samson was a mighty man of God. He was called in a time when Israel didn't know where it was going. There was these judges raised up, amazing men. Actually, Gideon was one of them. Samson was one of them, but he had the long hair. And he allowed Delilah to cut his hair. And by cutting his hair, you know the story, he lost his power, if you like, or he lost his ministry. So what does that mean? It means when we allow people into the areas of our lives that sustain us, that build us up, that grow us, that's when our ministry starts deflating. And for me, I'd allowed that. I'd allowed a little part of my area to slip, because it's not a quick thing. It's slow, very, very slow. And you look back and you say, actually, that needs tightening up. That's really good. That needs tightening up. That needs fixing. So again, we had a chance to pray with each other, myself and Dillis and my wife, to really look into that. So when we're looking at call and character are so linked. So ask yourself the question tonight, your character, what parts of your character need to be worked upon? What are the things you're good at? What are the things you're bad at? Because I find in my own life, things that block, you know, me able to hear God are things that are in my own character that are stuff that just aren't healthy. And I believe if we're honest, we all have those things. So here's the main point now. If we're really honest, most of us are stuck and we don't know our call. That's being blatantly honest. I spent a lot of the time after I heard that, I don't know how actually, but when I heard those things about calling into the ministry. I wasn't sure about the Church of Ireland, and it was the last place I wanted to go, being honest. It's where I'd come from, and I wanted to go to something more exciting, more vibrant. No disrespect to it, because, you know, there's a lot of good things there. But I was like, no way, you must be joking me. I'm not going to the Church of Ireland. Like, I'd go to Nineveh before I went to the Church of Ireland. Again, no disrespect, but there's people here that know where I'm coming from. But I think I'm now going into third year, and the things I've learnt from some amazing people in the Church of Ireland has been incredible. And I'm only this side of it now, realizing what I've learnt. And that solidified my call. But when I went in, I couldn't understand why I was going, where I was going. And you just have to trust and come alongside some people even here in the congregation and say, look, I'm struggling with this, pray with me, encourage me in this. So I went to the Bible, and I want to name off some people here that were powerful guys in the Bible and girls who struggled with their call. Elijah, in a period of maybe even only a couple of weeks, went from being, and Graham talked about this morning, actually Jerry did, about being at the top of Mount Carmel to being in the depths of the valley around Mount Sinai. And he ran off to the cave. And he said to God, where am I going? What am I doing? Elijah. Peter, called by God to walk in the water, walked in the water, then he sank. And he forgot what Jesus was calling him to do, and Jesus lifted out his hand. Moses in the desert, after he killed that Egyptian, same thing, crying out to God, where am I going? What are you going to do? God provides the burning bush. He realizes his call. Ezekiel, mourning about the state of the Jewish people. He was so desperate about the church. And then God showed him that amazing picture around Ezekiel 30 up to 30, 38, 40, about the temple and the water rising from the ankles to the knees to the waist to the head. He couldn't even walk in it then. Esther, amazing woman, just reading about at the moment. Her kind of sponsor in Persia, and Mordecai, was going to be killed, set up by a guy who was jealous of him. And she had to go to the king to plead for his life. And it just says she didn't know what to do. So she prayed and fasted. And then God told her to go to the king. The early church in the upper room, waiting for Pentecost, not knowing what was happening. Again, they called out to God. And then finally, in this very letter, Paul talks about being imprisoned and incarcerated. And again, what does he do? Call out to God. So it's kind of a theme here. I could go on and on about all these guys and girls. What did they do? They called out to God, and he showed them. So it's in that place of vulnerability where we call out to God. So what did Elijah do? Call out to God in the cave. God showed him about the soft, gentle breeze, and that he was in that. Elijah went on to anoint Elisha, did incredible things. Peter went on to lead the early church. Moses basically went on, as you know, follow these guys down, you see. So they went through a progression of hearing the call, a time of desperation, a time of crying out to God, and a time of moving on. That is a pattern in the Christian life. That is something, and then we feel a bit sort of hard done by in that, and we feel sort of confused, why is this happening to me? But that's the cycle, but it's all about bringing us back to the cross. It's all about, you know, as Paul talks, he won't remove that thorn on my side because, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. And it's made greater in that whole process. So when I was in New Zealand, the kind of crux of the whole thing about calling came to me when I went walking one day. Now, I've traveled a bit around, as many of you guys have as well, around the world at work and stuff like that. And call it stupidity or call it a desire to just go and do things mad, I don't know. But within me is I always want to go and do stuff that's a little bit crazy. And Dillis, my wife, is like, I don't know why you want to do that, but just go off and do it anyway and hope for the best. And she's got amazing faith in me, that woman. So I went walking in Mount Cook, and it's avalanche season. And I know you're saying, this guy is completely stupid. Listen to your wife. So I went walking, and I was walking up. I don't know if anyone's from New Zealand here or been there, but walking up, I was talking to Dave Linus about this, up the Hooker Valley. And as I was walking up the Hooker Valley, there's another valley to the left called the Muller Valley. And I'd gone about an hour and a half from the hotel. I could actually still see it behind me. And I told the guys in the hotel where I was going, what points I'd be at, and I had my mobile. There was no coverage on that. And So, but I'll tell you guys, I was walking and I was praying and saying, God, you know, I'd like to go away on my own and be able to kind of just to pray and spend some time with God. And I was walking and I was just going, you know, Lord, you know, really looking forward to third year. I really have a heart to do this type of ministry, real heart for God's people. You know, where I want to go, I've got such passion for that. What do you want me to do? I'm just a bit confused at this next season. And next thing, there was an avalanche in the Muller Valley. And I just heard this massive booming. I just never heard anything like it. And I just stopped and I looked over. And I was 5 or 6 miles away. I don't want to exaggerate this. It was way out in the distance. But as you know, avalanches come down and not up. So I stopped and I looked and I could hear this booming, rustling, incredible sound as the ice was crunching down to the glacier. And I panicked and said, God, what am I going to do? And I looked behind me and I said, I have to run back to the hotel. And I just, it's one of the only times I've really kind of not heard an audible voice of God, but I felt in my spirit, he said, keep walking. I was like, you must be mad. I can't walk up the valley. And he just said, keep walking. So I didn't walk, I ran, because it was kind of a high point. So I ran up and I stopped and I saw the avalanche come as it dissipated and hit the glacier and cracked and crunched, and the most amazing sight. I was just so blessed by it in safety. And I just stopped and I just felt God then say, you know, I'll never hurt you. I'll never lead you to a place that will cause you immense harm. But if I do call you to go into a place you think there's danger, will you go? Will you go to a place of confusion? Will you go to a place that's hard? Will you follow that call? And I just felt God sort of say, you know, you can do this with my help. And I just really feel tonight in that essence, wherever you're at, you know, if you're feeling an avalanche coming, or maybe you're already at the top of the Hooker Valley, is to ask God, listen to him as Peter did, and then follow that call, and then go. Because it's a wonderful thing to be in God's will and his calling. So then just to finish. In the passage in Timothy, there's guys in it, without going too complex. There's a group called these sophists, and you read about it in the text. They're basically people that are trying to generate ill doctrine and all that sort of stuff. They went around the country trying to tell people that they were okay where they were and they didn't want to change, and they charged for this service. So they would go along to Johnny and they would say, what are you doing, Johnny? And Johnny would say, oh, I'm a shoemaker in Lower Palestine and I'm living with 4 or 5 women, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And Johnny would give him 10 lira, 10 pounds, whatever it was, and say, tell me I'm okay. So the guy would sit down and encourage him to keep going. So it was really like just flattery. And this went all around ancient Israel. They were called these sophists. I just thought, how is that so similar to today when the world basically says the same thing to us? It says you're okay, just stay where you are. You don't need to move. You don't need to do anything different. You know, that's fine. Just take the lowest common denominator. But then in this passage, the very last thing that Paul says is, you know, be steady. Be like the athlete to move out and not to stop. So I just thought that was so profound, that kind of comparison between the two. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, we are called to be steady and focused on our call like an athlete in and out of season. That is a challenge. And when I was away listening to guys like Bill Johnson that Dave Ebbs gave me, I listened to other guys from the States. I listened to as many as I could, and they're all preaching the same message. Like there's something happening in the church worldwide, and I'm not a prophet, but there's something happening in the church worldwide. I met Pentecostals in New Zealand, Protestants in Northern Ireland, Catholics in Costa Rica, and they're all talking about the same sense of God moving out and God, people accepting the call. Like Bill Johnson talks about these people who basically go out into the supermarket and they pray for people, and the people get healed. Just because God told one person to do it, went and did it, and amazing things are happening. And Bill Johnson saying, I can't stop the people responding to their call. I can't stop them. And I was just so, something within me says, you know, what's stopping us doing that? You know, what's holding me back doing that? And I think that's something we really need to pray for. And there's so many other stories. I've been talking to you guys about things like that around the world, and we can go on about that sort of thing, but I just want to really encourage us today that each one of you has a divine call to do something. Wonderful, precious. Like Dave Heff was saying today about Spirit of M. Like, you all have that, I promise you. Not because Rob Jones is saying it, because I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, says the Lord in Romans 8:28. It's a promise by God. And why? So that we can go out and work with the highest level of heroin addicts, work with the binge drinkers, work with the guys who are suffering from suicide, work in the IFC with the people who don't know what they're doing, work with the homosexuals, work with the people that are coming in from different nations. Because Christianity is only really working when people respond to the call and do that in a safe community. Where there's trust, where there's love, where there's affection, affirmment, and building up. And that's what was happening in this part of 2 Timothy 4. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. That was the call then, and that is the call now. Hasn't changed, won't change, till Jesus comes back. So I want to do one thing we usually have ministry time, and we still will have that. But I want to do something different tonight, because what is ministry time, guys? It's a time to respond. And you're not going to have to move from your seats, which is exciting, unless you want to later on to pray. But I just want to do, because I did this when I was away, I'm just going to hand out pieces of paper to everyone here and a pen and write down, what is your call? And if you don't know what it is, say, I don't know what my call is. But just use this as a time to respond to God and say, you know, I want to react to this. And just to give that bit of response. So if you give me a hand, Johnny, excuse me, giving these out. Al, could you give me a hand giving these out as well? So just go down the rows. I've got pens, yeah. Someone else give me a hand. Steve, cheers. So just be thinking now as they're handing them out. Say, you know, God, what is it that you have for me? You know, and I know in these times it can be really easy just to kind of phase out, and if you're a really bad time, you know, you can do that, but do try to engage with this. Do try to just forget about the person around you. Just take one of these pens and pass it on. These pens are from Owen Heaslip. I stole them from his drawer when he left. So just take one of these and pass them on if you could. You might share one between two maybe or something, yeah. Just share one between two for the moment. You can hold on to these pens. We're not looking for them back. Just make a donation. Sorry, Gillian, yeah. Hey, Alex. Just might have to share one between two. If you have your own pen as well, that would be useful. There you are. Yeah. So what am I asking you to do? Just spend some time, and if you're very clear about it, just write it down and, you know, who are you called to be? And just write it down. And if you're unclear, write that down too. Do you have pens, guys? Jay? Share them. You have to share one between two. Oh, yeah. There's two more. Just, you might have to share one there. John Ryan here. He's gone home. Would you just get up on your own there and just play a bit of guitar music in the back just while we pray? Just in a way of response, and no one's going to take these and pin them on the board, and they're anonymous anyway, but just John's going to play in the background there, and just be a bit creative with our ministry time, because some people aren't at a place they want to come up and be prayed with, and that's fine too. But just to come up and place it in the box, and in doing that, it's not about placing something in a box physically, but it's about saying, you know, God, I give this back to you, because we sung that in the very last song. You know, you give me breath, God. I breathe because you've given me breath. And it's just a case of coming up and saying, you know, I give this back to you, God, this call. And if I don't know what it is, or even if I'm not a Christian, that's fine too. No one's going to impose that on you unless you want to talk to someone here tonight. So, John, could you play in the background there? And that would be. So, in your own time, let's come forward and let's start putting them in.